sometimes, do you know he does continue to forgive your sins, right? You do realize that even though you continue to be a sinner, Christ continues to forgive. As much as you sin, there is much more forgiveness that is there. As much as you do badly, there is much more goodness that Christ has to offer. A lot of times we get wrapped up in the things that we have done, wrapped up in the guilt of our lives, and I'm glad that you know that you ought to be guilty for the things that you've done, and I'm glad that you know that you ought to feel bad, and you ought to repent of those things. But understand this, once you've repented, once you felt guilty, glory to God, the Lord has paid for it all. It's hard to move forward when you're carrying around an anchor such as guilt. The devil uses guilt in mighty, mighty ways. One of his greatest tools is the tool of guilt. Turn in your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 2. Thank you for that song, Grandma Sue. It was very good. The title of the message tonight is, Are You Out of His Mind? You've heard the statement, Are You Out of Your Mind? Or at least I've heard it, like a lot. Are you out of your mind? The mind is a very, very funny thing. The mind controls your thoughts. The mind is the part of your body where you get your knowledge, where you get your thoughts to do things. Your mind, it's amazing on just how incredibly powerful the human mind is. It's amazing how incredibly powerful your mind becomes in your decision making, where you would think that you would make most of your decisions from your heart. But understand this, the heart is where the decision ends. The mind is where the decision begins. Now, I'm not trying to split hairs here, but the mind is a very, very important thing when it comes to how you think. And the Lord has given us the ability. The Lord has given us the ability to choose which mind we will have. Will we choose the mind of the carnal mind? Or will we choose the spiritual mind that the Lord wants us to have? The Lord's given us a choice here. And I want you to look in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Let's stand, if you will, for the reading of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, bowels meaning deep compassion, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Boy, I would to God our churches would be filled with that today. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a pretty important statement there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible's saying here that you have an opportunity to have this part of the mind of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I never take it for granted. I really don't, Lord. I cannot believe that you called me to preach, but I sure am glad that you did. Lord, please be with us tonight. Come down and speak through me. As always, my prayer, let me decrease to nothing and let you increase to everything tonight. Lord, we need you. We need you to be here tonight in a special way. Help us. Help us to clear our minds of all the things that are going on in our lives. Lord, help us to just take a few minutes tonight and think on you and think of the way that you'd have us to think. Lord, please put a pathway in front of us, Lord, that we can see easily and that we can walk easily thinking as you would have us to think. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The question arises, a white truck going off? If you have the keys, I'd like to know. The fellas out there, Jimmy in the window. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, the question arises, can we have, you need to think about this now, can we have the mind of Christ or be in his mind? Now understand, I'm not going to even begin to tell you that you can have the complete mind of Christ. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. His ways are far above our ways. And that's why I like so much the English language. I like so much that the Bible was written this way, that the Lord gave it to us in the English language. And I thank you so much, Lord, that you've given us the every jot and every tittle scripture. Because if you look at a very, very important punctuation mark in verse 5, the Bible starts out this way. Let. Now, you know before, I taught this English lesson before in one of the verses. What is the subject in this sentence if the word let is in there? You are the subject. So if you is before the word let, you let. That means you have to do something to have this mind of Christ that's inside of you. You have to let it be there. I cannot stress enough to you that it is an ability that we have as a saved people to go ahead and have this part of the mind of Christ in ourselves. But we have to let it be there. We have to let this part be part of us. It will not come naturally. The carnal mind is at enmity with God. It will not let this come in. You have to let it come in. You have to make a conscious effort to have this part come into your body. Are you out of his mind? Here's a thought. I want you to look at the punctuation mark there, and I'm going to move over to something else. I want you to look at the punctuation mark at the end of this little statement. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is that? At Bethel Baptist Christian Academy, that's a colon. That means there's something following that you're going to want to see. Let me ask you a couple more questions. This is a difficult task. Now listen, your body and your thought process does not want to be spiritual. Your flesh does. It's amazing to me. I can't believe he acts that way. It's the human nature to act that way. To act right is the nature of the Lord. To act right is the nature of the Spirit. You don't want to do good things. Your body doesn't want to do good things. Your body wants to think bad thoughts. In your mind right now, you're praying that 6 o'clock, 6:45 will be the end of this message. That's a bad thought. A godly thought is, Brother Dave, preach on. But in your mind, your body decides, your flesh side of you decides that it wants to be bad. The good side or spiritual side of you wants to be good. Over and over again I've said this, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. If you have a problem with that, take it up with God. He's the one that wrote it. It's hard to process information in your flesh and turn it to good. It's very easy to process information in your flesh and use it for bad. Very easy. That's why we get our liars. That's why we get our whoremongers. That's why we get our murderers. That's why we get people that don't want to be saved. That's why we get all these people. That's where this comes from, because the flesh, there's no good thing in here. And you've got to let this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, let that mind, let that thought process, let that spirit process. You've got to make a concerted effort not to cave in to the fleshly side of things. The problem is, the flesh side of things is so easy. It's so easy to do wrong, and it's so hard to do right. A lot of people, well, Brother Dave, it's pretty easy for me to do right. Well, you just did wrong by thinking it was easy to do right. See, what happens is this. Life is a battle. No way you can go away from this. Life is a battle. I heard Brother Hiles one time preach a message, and in the message he said, you're going to win a battle. Someday in your life you win a battle. Let's say it's salvation. Let's pick that battle. The battle for your eternal soul was won because you let Christ come into your heart. And because you did that, you accepted him as Savior, that won a battle. The very next battle you fight, you could lose. You could lose a battle with the flesh over alcohol. You could lose a battle with the flesh over drugs. You could lose a battle over flesh with lying. You could lose a battle with the flesh gossip. Name the thing. It doesn't matter what it is, but you could lose a battle. Don't feel bad about losing that battle. Everybody loses battles. But don't stop fighting when you lose the one. Because the next fight you might have, you may lose that one too. And you may lose again. When you're a new Christian, it's amazing how many times you lose battles in being a new Christian. And then you go through a little maturing process where you start winning some battles. Amen. You start winning battles over the flesh. Like, I didn't do a certain thing that I always did, whatever that is. I read my Bible today. I usually skip it, but I read my Bible today. What a victory. Even if it's just one verse, what a victory. You opened up the Bible and man, you woke up just 5 minutes early today and I read the Bible. What a victory. And then tomorrow you blow it. That's okay. See, as a Christian in your flesh, it's a battle. It's going to be a battle your entire life. And what happens is like a soul winner. Oh, it's so easy to be discouraged soul winning. Oh, because you don't get somebody won every time. And you go out and you tell people and they don't come. Can I help you? You won because you went. Whether they accept the Lord or not is not your problem. You say, well, what if I'd have presented it differently? Understand this. If God's using you to go, God will use you to speak. If you pray that way, honestly, I believe that with all my heart. The Lord can use anybody to win somebody to Him. You don't have to be a scholar to win somebody to Christ. All you have to do is know the gospel. It's not hard. If you're saved, you know the gospel. Amen? So you fight these battles, and what happens in a Christian's life is, in this, what happens, you start to lose and win battles way back here when you're a new Christian. What's funny is you win a lot of battles in the middle, but then as you get older, you start to lose again. You start to get to a point where you feel like, well, glory to God, I'm a mature Christian. They're not going to look at me funny if I don't come to church once in a while. They're not going to look at me funny if I don't take my Christian life seriously. I know the Bible. I don't need to open it every day. Can I challenge you, Christian? If you can raise your hand and say that you know everything there is to know about the Bible, would you please put it up? Brother Carl's been saved longer than dirt. He didn't put up his hand. And I say that because I love Brother Carl. He's one of my heroes. And I really believe with all my heart he's got a good knowledge of the Scriptures. But he doesn't know everything about the Bible. And what happens is this. We get to a point where I know John 3:16, glory to God. The devil beat you. The devil beat you right there. Mature Christian, the devil beat you because you ceased to hunger for that Bible. You ceased to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind is a hard, hard thing to understand. We never get to a point in our lives where we are above the battle. Never. Until you get to heaven, you better be battling every day. If you're not battling, can I help you? If you're not battling, if you don't feel as though you're in a battle between the flesh and the spirit, which rips at your body inside, it rips in your spirit inside. If you're not in that body, in that battle, can I help you a little bit? The devil's already got you. If you're not battling, you've already lost. Because it's a battle. You have to fight it. It's a fight. It's something that you absolutely have to let. And by the way, what's funny is I go into a little bit of this with you. It's not easy. But as I go into this, I want you to think about the worst thing you've ever done. As Grandma Sue was singing that tonight. The worst thing you've ever done was not bad enough for Christ not to pay for. The worst thing you've ever done. So why would we stop battling when one little bad thing happens? Why would we stop? Do you know you never get victory unless you continue to fight? You never get victory unless you keep battling. You never get that victory. Now, this is not a very easy thing. I understand it. Turn over to Romans chapter 7. We're going to turn to six different places tonight. Actually, seven, but I already turned to the one. But Romans chapter 7. It's good to turn in the Bible sometimes. Amen? Brother Dave, I don't believe you that this is a battle that we're in. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. Doing what? Warring against the law of what? My mind. I want you to think about this for a minute. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That brings a whole different light on the first verses I read to you, doesn't it? Because in your mind, if the mind of Christ is in you, this war will be fought for the spiritual side. In your mind, if the mind of the flesh is inside you, warring inside your members, you've already lost that battle. You've got to let the mind of Christ be in you. You've got to let that spirit of Christ be in you. If you don't let that mind of Christ be inside of you, you will not have this war necessarily in your members because that the war of the bad side's already inside of you. You already lean towards the bad in your flesh is what I'm trying to get across. You're already leaning towards the bad. That's why the Bible says let the mind of Christ be in you. Now understand this. Did it say let the bad mind be in you? Let the carnal mind be in you? Let the fleshly mind be in you? Why don't you have to let that be in you? It's already there. So you got to ask yourself, are you out of his mind? As a Christian today, are you out of his mind? Are you in a place where you want, where you desire to think about the godly things? Or are you in a place in your life where you desire to think about the earthly things? Let's look further. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, turn over there quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Glory to God. Verse 2 saying, if you got a servant, if you got a master or a boss that is a Christian, thank God for it. That just doesn't happen that often. Amen. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. Let's read that verse 3 again. If any man teach otherwise, well, teach what otherwise? Do not despise your believing boss. They are brethren. Do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers. These things teach and exhort. In other words, do good things, do good service, do good work. You see what that's saying? If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. But doting, listen to this now, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt what? And destitute of what? Supposing that gain, listen to this now, boy, you've got to see this. I hope you see this. Supposing that gain is godliness. Boy, I want you to look at me and I want you to listen to me. Just because, you get mad at me, I hope you do. Just because a man has gain, just because a man has a big work, just because a man has filled his football stadium with people, just because he has a form of godliness, just because he has those things and written many books, just because of all these things, does not mean he's got the truth. It does not mean he's right. It does not mean he's got the mind of Christ in him. It could be an evil mind, destitute of truth, knowing nothing. We look through our eyes at the success of men because we believe we know what that success is. Can I help you a little bit? We don't know what success is. Your flesh doesn't see what success is. We look upon others and say, man, I wish I had what they had. That's not success. That's covetousness. And we live our lives, oh, I want to have gain, I want to get things, I want to have a big work. I want to have a big work too, but not because I want to be in the sword of the Lord is what a great work. I want to have a big work because I want to have more people hearing about our Savior. I want to have a building big enough that we can fit 100,000 people in. You say, well, Brother Dave, that's just ridiculous. Why is that ridiculous to you? Let me explain something to you in very quick terms. The truth is fading fast. The Word of God is being trampled every hour. The thought of what you're holding in your hands when you're holding your King James Bible, the Word of God in English, is going away fast. The thought of taking away, raising, doting about questions and strifes. Let me explain something to you. Hold on to the old paths. Hold on to the old book. Hold on to God. Because truth is fading fast. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We'll get to that in a second. Because there's a colon at the end of that statement that gives you a few things that we should adhere to. You got to understand something. Your mind sees other people that you would deem successful. And because you deem them successful, your mind automatically goes to the part where, like, you're trained almost to think, well, that is the picture of success. You ever think about that? It happens all the time in big companies where they see a model for success, and bless God, we got to model ourselves after that model of success. Can I help you? Can I help you today, Christian? The model of success is contained in these pages. We do not need to go to men to find success. We need to go to God to find success. The problem is we don't go there anymore. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Master, verse 36. Which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. If this is a commandment, did it not ask what's the great commandment? Okay. If this is a commandment, I'm trying to stir up your minds tonight. I'm trying to stir you up to think a little bit. If this is a commandment that the Lord has given us, is it possible that it cannot be fulfilled? It's not possible. If the Lord gave you a commandment, it must be possible that we can do it. Right? God's not going to tell you to do something you cannot do. It's impossible for you to do it. He's not going to do that. Okay? Now understand this. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. You can do it. Not easy, though. It's not easy. And you may not do it all the time. As a matter of fact, I would just about guarantee you can't do it all the time. Because understand, he did give the Ten Commandments as a schoolmaster, letting us know that we won't be able to fulfill them all because he's going to be the only one that can fulfill them all. Amen? So understanding that we're walking a tightrope here, but realizing that you can have a love for the Lord with all your mind. Can I help you out? One of the greatest ways that you can get involved with having your mind go towards Christ and go towards God is while you're reading this. One of the greatest ways that you can get your mind towards focus towards the things of Christ is by praying. One of the greatest things you can get with your mind towards the things of Christ is by helping someone else. One of the greatest things. Now, if we live our life for ourselves, whose mind are we on? That's right. So are we in his mind or are we out of his mind? We're out of his mind if we're thinking about ourselves. Not that hard to figure out, but it sure is hard to do, amen? All right, let's move on. So if he commands this, we must be capable of doing this. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. Paul writes a letter to Timothy, and he expresses to Timothy in verse 7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, that in and of itself should let you know that if you're in the spirit of fear, I think you should fear the Lord, but if you're in the spirit of fear day to day, can you possibly have the mind of Christ in you? Because Christ has taken care of you. Christ died for you. Christ is going to be your provider. Christ is going to be there for you. We live every day a lot of times in fear, worrying about what we're going to do for one day to the next. Can I help you out, Christian? Glory to God, Christ doesn't want you to live in fear. Christ wants you to live understanding that he's given you a sound mind. He's given you the ability to look to him. He's given you the avenue to go to him in prayer. He's given you the words of him through his Bible. Understand this. Why in the world do we take so many steps without God, without his mind? Why are we so often out of the mind of Christ? Why are we so often there? Why do we so often desire to fear what's going on today? I hear all the time, Oh, I'm afraid of the future. You are? Because let me tell you something. You are destined, if you're a saved person in here today and you've got the Lord inside your heart, you are destined to walk streets of gold. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. We hold on to this human life like it's all we've got. And I think you should use it for everything you can. But do you understand? For eternity, you're going to be walking streets of gold. For eternity, you're going to be in heaven. For eternity, we're going to be fishing in the crystal sea and eating filet mignon at the table at the Last Supper. Well, you don't think we're going to have filet mignon, right? Can you imagine the cow? It ain't going to be certified Angus. So much better than that. Why do we live in a spirit of fear? You can't threaten me with heaven, should be the thought. That you can't. I know that this world may go bad, but is it going to be forever? Why do we live with a spirit of fear? If you look at it, the God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what's funny? When you think every day and all day, I just draw a blank for a minute. That's not hard for any of the teenagers. But draw a blank for a minute. And then I want you to try to go back. This is so funny. I want you to try to go back and think about what you ate for lunch yesterday. That's hard, isn't it? And that's just yesterday. Your mind is an incredibly powerful tool. You can remember things that are unbelievable, but then you can't recall that. What's funny is this, and I'm not saying everybody can't recall that, but you know what I'm speaking of. It's amazing that we have been given the opportunity to have a sound mind. A sound mind. Let me help you to how powerful your mind is. Your mind is so powerful. When I was a kid back in the 80s, I listened to some of the raunchiest music you can ever imagine, ever. Some of the raunchiest music, terrible, terrifying songs. Do you know I remember the words today? Teenagers upstairs, right up here right now are just saying, oh. I've heard throughout the ages, I was blessed with being the youth director here for 10 years. If I had a dime for every time a kid said to me, well, my music just doesn't affect me that way. It's not that powerful. If I had a dime for every time, we'd have our building already. You say it doesn't affect you, but your mind is so powerful that it can recall those things that were part of your life, even when you were not doing so well. It can recall the things of your life. And what's funny, all you have to hear is a part of one of those songs. You ever been there? You go to a baseball game. You ever been to a baseball game and they play that just rotten music over the intercom? And your thoughts. You say what you want to say. Oh, yeah, Brother Dave, you're being stupid, am I? Because I've watched you. You sit there tapping that toe. And I think about that for a minute because I'm tapping mine too. I'm being honest with you. Your mind is so powerful. It's so hard to contain it. It's so hard to understand that your mind does not live in the same boundaries that you do. Did you know that? Your mind can process things and think of things and store things that just are unbelievable that they store. I'm a trivia nut, stupid, okay? And I can pull things out. I asked Mark tonight. I had to ask him. I'm not a naval guy, okay, at all. And I asked him, what are the lower lights? I didn't know what that was. I promise you, if you ask me that a year from now, what are the lower lights? I'll know what they are because I'm stupid about that. I know I retain that kind of dumb stuff that means nothing, okay? I'm going somewhere. Just hold on to me for a minute here. Your mind processes things sometimes that are unnecessary and sometimes that are detrimental. Have you ever tried in your mind to memorize Scripture? If Scripture were a rock song, but what happens is this. To memorize Scripture, to get into your Bible and get something from it, a certain amount of prayer had to be added to get you in the right frame of
mind.
Oh, you're right with me. If you read your Bible with your fleshly mind, and listen, I hope I'm not getting spiritualistic on you that you think I'm going charismatic. But if you read the Bible with your fleshly mind, good luck memorizing it. The devil does not want you to know the words of God. The devil does not want you to know. You know why he doesn't want you to know? Because if you don't know the word of God, then how in the world could you hide it in your heart? How can you meditate on it day and night? How can you do the things that God wants you to do? How can you let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, when you know nothing of him? But you can remember, hang on, Sloopy. Listen to you. Hang on, Sloopy. You're all, the service just got more exciting. You can't list me the apostles or the disciples or the 12, but you can name the Beatles. For the younger generation, you might not know who they are. But you can name me who Limp Bizkit and Nickelback are and Godsmack. I'm going to tell you right now, if I ever catch one of these kids with a tape from the place Godsmack, I'm going to smack it in the name of God. I'll promise you that. Why do you know those names, Brother Dave? I try to stay up on all that stuff so I can rebuke them whenever I need to. I like to rebuke teenagers. Your mind is powerful. Your mind is unbelievable. Your mind has an incredible capability. What's amazing is you have to ask yourself, how often do you use your mind on the spiritual side? If I asked you to recite John 3:16 to me, oh, sure, Brother Dave, I got that one. Good. Good. If I asked you to recite the Romans Road, could you do it? If I asked you to recite the verses to lead somebody to Christ, could you do it? And those are common verses, brother. If I asked you to have scripture in your heart, that's why I don't think a preacher ought to preach without reciting some scripture. What happens is this. We lend more of our time to the fleshly side of our mind than we ever think about letting the mind of Christ be in us. It's not easy, but it can be done. Look at Philippians chapter 4. How in the world, Brother Dave, then? How in the world do we get this done? How in the world, the Bible says in Isaiah, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. This is in Isaiah, okay? I'm just reciting this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, now you got it. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. If you want to get out of peace, get out of the mind of Christ. If you want to get out of peace, start thinking on the world. If you want to get out of peace, glory to God, think of the rotten music that's out there. If you want to get out of peace, think about what in the world's going on in our government. If you want to get out of peace, think about what's going on in this planet. That, oh, Lord, the planet has a fever. I got news for you. I wish, well, God, we'd get a fever here in Ravenna. Amen. It's been getting colder every 15 years since I've been here. It's been colder. Global warming, my eye. We get our thoughts so mired in the world today, how in the world can anything get conquered for God? When we've got our minds so ingrained in the flesh and so ingrained in the things of this world. Can I help you, Christian? The world has nothing to offer you. Nothing. In the battle for the lives of your children, the battle for the lives of your loved ones, that the preachers fight and the deacons fight and the elder people in this Christians fight for. The lives that we're trying to save not are only the lives of the flesh, but also the lives of the spirit of their mind. If you look in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, how do we get this done? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And many of us know verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Because if you're thinking on these things, your mind is stayed on Christ. Your mind is not stayed on the world. Can I ask you a question? In this world, are there anything true? The world is full of lies. You can say what you want to say about it. If there's any truth, it's because God's given the truth. Is there anything honest anymore? Good Lord, have mercy, no. Is there anything just? Anything pure? Lovely? Maybe Hawaii. Hawaii's lovely. Till I go there and a hurricane probably come through. Good report? Listen to the news. Do you hear any good reports anymore? Any virtue? Any praise? You're not going to find that in the world. You can say what you want to say. Argue with me if you want. You're not going to find that in the world. Those things that you can think on, those things that are of good, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing, so any good thing must come from where? It's got to come from God. There's no choice here. If you think on these things, get your heart stayed there. I want you to turn back just a little bit to Philippians chapter 2 again. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. How in the world can we get the mind of Christ? How can we do this? Starting in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, I want you to look at this. If you find any consolation in Christ, if you find any comfort in love, if you find any fellowship of the Spirit, if you find any bowels and mercies, I'm talking deep compassion and mercies. It says, be like-minded. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Of one accord, of one mind. You want to see a church go forward fast? Have the mind of Christ in everybody. You want to find a church go forward fast for God? Get everybody thinking the same line. Can I ask you a question? Is God's mind, is the Lord's mind, is Christ's mind, is it going to take you in different directions? It's going to take you one direction, towards Him. If you want to have a big church so we can have a fancy building, forget it. If you want to have a big church and a fancy building to fill it with sinners, we'll get it done. Because that's what God wants us to do. Be like-minded. Share these things with one another. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. I would to God we'd get a little bit of that in the world today, where we thought the other was better than you. Now listen, I don't want you to go around, the Bible's not expressing there that they want you to go around being a depressed maggot. Okay? They really don't. Even maggots have their purpose in life. But they don't. The Bible's not asking you to go around depressed. You're a child of the King. There's no reason to be depressed. But what you've got to understand is this. And this is a perfect example. I'm so glad he's close to me. He's a character. But you've got to humble yourself enough to everybody. I'm not just picking on him, although I do it all the time. It's not just him. You've got to humble yourself believing that he's better than you. Why? Because if somebody's better than you, then you're not the best. If we could live our lives realizing that we need to look on each other with the eye of Christ, look on each other, realizing we have to have the mind of Christ, saying, man, if I can help them in any way, I'm going to do it. I get so sick and tired hearing all the time, and this is constant in church, not just this church, and we have an above average church. I'll be the first to admit that. But I hear all the time, oh, that got to be sin that's got their life all screwed up. It may be sin, but how dare you assume what it is? Well, they're just getting judgment from God. My wife and I lost a child. And I had somebody that was well-loved, high in the church, come to me, to my face, and he still has all his teeth. It's very surprising. He said to me, after we lost the child, "So what have you been doing?" The preacher that was here before my dad ruined a lot of people's lives because he said, "You're full of sin. That's why you've messed up. Because of your sin, God punished you." You know, Brother Mark, I'll be honest with you, that may be true. Living in sin and doing things wrong and know to do right and to do it not, to him is a sin. I'm not saying that your sin's not messing you up. If you're in the middle of sin right now, glory to God, get out of sin, because it's probably messing you up. But as a Christian, you should look upon the other and say, "I want to help them the best I can. I can't just think that it's God punishing them. I've got to think that maybe I can help them in some way. Maybe I can get them out of what they're in right now." See, what happens is we get high-minded of ourselves. "Well, glory to God, I'm so high up in the air, I can't help this little long-haired guy when he comes to our church. I can't help him. He's beyond help. He came in with a rock and roll t-shirt on, hair out to here. How in the world can we help him?" Do you know that's not your job?
That's right.
As a Christian, you're supposed to love him.
Amen.
You're supposed to love him and help him up. And you know what's funny? I never asked this guy to cut his hair one time. Never. You know who did? God did. Now, if he didn't cut his hair, will we allow him to stay in the church? You better believe it's yes. You better believe it's yes. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," humbling yourself, realizing that you're not all you think you are. "Johnny, I can't do well with this thing, I tell you." Apparently, I've got to stand like this a little bit more often and just lecture. I got to thinking about this too. We make things hard for ourselves. Let me explain that a little bit. When that fella told that to me, my first inclination was to punch his lights out. Probably should have. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I would punch him out today. So if after the service you say, "Brother Dave, what kind of sin are you in?" Understand that I've warned you. One of the biggest problems that I had and still have is looking down on people. And I'm so thankful that nobody else in this room has this problem. Thankful. But one of the worst things that you'll battle throughout your life, and the way to let the mind of Christ be in you, the way to let that happen, is to die to yourself daily. To get yourself to a position to realize that your obligation and duty is to others. It's what the scriptures are trying to tell you. How can you have the mind of Christ? Think others, think others, think others. Get into scripture, think others. Get into a scripture, pray, get others, get others. And what happens is this: you develop a thought process that is different than your flesh wants it to be.
That's right.
What happened is, throughout the ages, I've had no problem gossiping about people. As the oxygen gets sucked out of the room. Let me help you. The Lord showed me that life is easier when you don't do that. At first, it's harder. And let me tell you why. At first, you want to say, "I really don't like Brother Freimeyer." At first. Because you want to, and the reason that people do this, now listen to me now, the reason that people do this is because when you have a conversation with somebody and you're downgrading somebody else, it's to make you look better. It's not necessarily because you really don't like him. It's because you don't like you. I'm not trying to be psychoanalytical here, but that's the truth. That's why people do what they do. So what happens is this: you get out of the mind of Christ, you get into the mind of your flesh, and in the process, eventually the person that you just talked to about Brother Freimeyer gets to Brother Freimeyer, and he says, "Guess what Brother Dave said about you?" Then Brother Freymeyer, who is probably brave enough to come right to me, but not many people are, because most people don't want to tell me anything, it seems like, he comes to somebody else. And he tells Brother Mark, guess what Brother Dave said about me? He probably thinks it about you too. I think a lot of things about you. Listen to me. You get that ball rolling, it's amazing how many people get mad at you quick. Now, let me tell you how to reverse it. Throw it in reverse. Somebody comes to you and says, well, I don't like Brother Freymeyer. Can I show you how to fix it? I don't like Brother Freymeyer. Tell me that.
You don't like Brother Freymeyer.
Thank you.
I don't like Brother Freymeyer.
Brother Freymeyer, guess what Brother Mark said?
I like.
Uh-huh. That's what Brother Mark would say when he finally got face-to-face with Brother Freymeyer. Now, what happened? See, you did right as a Christian. You had the mind of Christ in you because you rebuked the bad. You took in the good and decided, you know what? I'm going to stop this right here, because let me tell you something that can kill a church, that can split a church, that can tear a church up, can tear hearts up, can make people bitter, can make people angry, can make people hateful. That's the sin of gossip, when you talk about other people and you really don't have the right, because you don't look at others. You don't esteem others as better than you. See, if you let the mind of Christ be in you, everyone around you is having a hard time. If you let the mind of Christ be in you, you want to help people. You want to show people that you can be Christian today. I've been preaching to our kids at the school for the last month solid about realizing what a Christian really is. Do you know what a Christian really is? Would you be willing to follow the steps of Christ, who you say you believe and follow? When you call yourself Christian, you say you are a follower of Christ. Are you willing to be a follower of Christ? Here's the last question. I'm all done. To have the mind of Christ, to have that mind, it gives you a list. It gives you a list of things after that colon. It gives you a list of things. This mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This mind, the mind that he's going to show you here. This mind. Let this mind be in you. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen. He was God. Amen. But made himself, please get this, made himself of no reputation. Even if you have one, make yourself of no reputation. If you want to have this mind in you. Make yourself of no reputation. Take upon you, he took upon him, the form of a servant. Would you be willing to serve others? Seriously, you got to ask yourself that, because if you're a true follower of Christ and you don't serve people, you don't have the mind of Christ. And was made in the likeness of men. Yes, we were made in his image, but can I help you a little bit? He's nothing like us when he was in heaven. He came down here and suffered hunger, thirst, torment, tragedy, and we beat him to death and hung him on a cross. He didn't have that in heaven. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Boy, there's that humility again. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was willing. If this mind be in you, you should be willing to give everything you have for others. If you have the mind of Christ in you, your lips ought not be able to utter evil speakings of others. Ought not be able to. Because the mind of Christ would not let that happen. The question I have for you, do you want that mind? Do you want the mind? That mind, this mind, not the mind, not the Christ's thoughts are above our thoughts, not those thoughts. But he's telling you, let this mind, let this part, let this be in you, which was also, Christ Jesus displayed this mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This one. Are you out of his mind? As you go to your day-to-day activities, are you out of his mind? Are you thinking as though he would think? Are you thinking the thoughts that he would have? Are you willing to have that? Or do you want to continue to live a life with your mind on the things of the flesh? Because the road for the mind of the flesh is wide. And it's very easy to walk. But boy, the way of the transgressor sure is hard. The mind of Christ is a path that is certainly very narrow. Very, very difficult to walk. But you'll be glad you did. And when you walk this path, no reproach will become you. Because you've spoken truth. Your lips have uttered no guile. Your thoughts have not betrayed you. The flesh that you used to live in, that mind, you don't have to live there. Did you know that? You don't have to live this way. You can let the mind, this mind of Christ be in you. You can let that happen. Do you want it to? Are you out of his mind? If you're out of it, wouldn't you like to be in his mind? Wouldn't you like to have that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? I know it's not easy. But boy, what a great, great road it would be. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving us the ability to let that mind be in us. Lord, you don't have to let us have anything. But Lord, I believe with all my heart that you would want these people to think as you would think. To want these people to look at others as you would have them to see them. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that if you say that you can, that we can let this mind be in us that was also in you, I believe it's possible. But I believe it's also very difficult. The flesh does not want any part of this. The flesh wants our mind to be stayed on things that are of the flesh. But you want us to have our mind stayed on you. Great peace have they whose mind is stayed on thee. Lord, we must be able to love you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. We must be able to get that peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, please let us be people that seek to get that. Let us have people to open up our minds to you and do our dead level best to close our mind, to close our mind to the things of the flesh. Help us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I'm going to say, Brother Dave, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know for sure, as I look across this room, I believe everybody's saved, but I'd like to ask you the question tonight. How many are for sure 100% that they know the Lord is their Savior? Put your hands up real big and tall. You've asked the Lord to save you. You can take me to the place. Put your hands down. Would there be one tonight? Would there be one that is not sure? Would there be one that does not know that if they died today that they would go to heaven? Would there be one? Could you put your hand up? Would there be one that does not know 100% for sure? Then I'm talking to Christians. And Christians, you have the ability to let the mind of Christ be in you. The question is, are you out of his mind? Are you out of his mind? Have you been using the mind of Christ? Have you been allowing that to come in your life? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands tonight. I want you to deal with God tonight. And I want you to invite him and his mind to come into you. Let that thought process overtake you. Let that thought process be part of your life. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If you start letting that be your thought process, your life really does become easier. It really does. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that you be with Annie right now. Lord, I pray that you calm her heart and give her peace. And Lord, please be with the invitation tonight. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.